Welcome to the second episode of the Vinyl Crawl Revival Crawl. our second episode back from
Here we
our
are.
Long hiatus. I'm Alan, and I'm joined by Matt Beffercorn.
Hello.
So, this episode, we are talking about the album Fire on the Bayou by the Meters. And since it's a New Orleans-themed album, we are drinking a couple of slushies from our good friends at Blue Holler Brewing in Bowling Green, Kentucky. What are you drinking, Matt?
I am drinking the Rum Dum. That I think it's a Chris. What's the word I'm looking for?
It's a Chris concoction.
He's come up with himself. Yeah.
He likes mixing drinks and coming up with interesting.
He's a mixologist.
He is. Yeah. I'm sure he would appreciate us saying that about
it. It's very tasty and very reminiscent of Bourbon Street.
Absolutely.
When you walk down there and see the 64 flavors of Hurricane slushies you can get.
And I am drinking the Pink Lemonade, which is not as exciting, but still tastes really good.
It is pretty tasty, especially on a day when it's 95 degrees outside.
Ridiculously hot today.
Yeah.
In Kentucky. It is probably our hottest day of the year I can think of so far.
I've lost count.
Yeah, but it is really hot, and these slushies definitely hit the spot. So no beer today, but the slushies are perfect.
They are perfect, and it's a perfect match for the Meters.
It is, and if you come to Blue Holler, if you listen to the podcast and come to Blue Holler, tell Chris that we sent you.
That's right, yeah.
You might.
Come see us on a DJ set.
That's true, too.
That we do here every month.
We do DJ once a month at Blue Holler, usually the last Wednesday of the month.
That's right.
Although sometimes it does change, so you'll have to watch our socials to see.
Rule of thumb is the last.
Rule of thumb is the last, but it does tend to change from time to time. We usually have a theme night as well. Some of the themes have been like country and indie rock and rap and
yacht rock,
and just a little bit of everything. Like we have fun theme nights where customers bring in records and they'll have us spin some of their favorite songs, and we'll spin our songs completely vinyl, no digital, all
That's
records
right.
on the platter. I have a turntable, Matt has a turntable, and
we have
a mixer between us, and that's how we rock the whole night.
Yep.
So yeah, check us out if you're local or local-ish. Feel free to come by and check us out.
Swing by.
It's a lot of fun. So, that being said, the album we're talking about is the Meters album Fire on the Bayou, which is their sixth studio album.
That's right.
And the first, as you were mentioning earlier, to feature Cyril Neville.
That's right.
One of the Neville brothers.
And it's the latest in the Rhino Reserve series.
Right.
Which is kind of brought it to our attention.
Which the Rhino, give us a little bit of backstory of the Rhino Reserves, as far as what kind of albums they pick and stuff. Like let's say when you're ordering records for the shop and you're restocking and you see Rhino Reserves, they tend to be records that are kind of either like a classic record that a lot of people know but hasn't had a really good vinyl release, or sometimes they're a little bit off the beaten path, kind of like Fire on the Bayou.
It is, yeah. And it's a series. Of course, Rhino has done the High Fidelity series is how it kind of kicked off, and they do some other special releases. But this Rhino Reserve, they did the Southern Nights album.
Alan Toussaint's Southern Nights, yes.
And that was in the Eddie Hazel album as well. Game Dames and Guitar Thangs
with an A. Yes,
that, which is a smoker of an album.
That is an album that every person who's into rock music, who's into funk music, jazz, it's a record to have in your collection, because it kind of runs the gamut and it sounds fantastic.
Typically, I mean, if I see the Rhino Reserve stamp on it, you know it's going to be high quality pressing,
right?
High quality release, just all around.
And I think that's one of the things they also tout is they always kind of show the receipts of how they transferred the audio
yes.
and that sort of yep. thing. So
yeah.
you don't have to worry about the MoFi issue that happened a few years back
when
there were digital copies getting pressed and being told they were from analog sources. You don't have to worry about that sort of thing
yeah. with
those
yep.
Rhino releases. But yeah, so Fire on the Bayou. I own, I think, an OG copy of it. I don't think it's mm-hmm. a reissue because yeah. I don't think it got reissued that much.
I don't think it did either. It did. It got a 2015 reissue, I think.
Right.
An anniversary issue,
and it was
maybe.
Just kind of like a standard press. It wasn't
no, anything. They did a color, like a cool New Orleans color oh, okay. splatter thing.
I must have missed that
I didn't pick one up because I had an OG, but they got me on the Rhino Reserve, and it sounds fabulous.
Yes. we the
Well worth picking
the
up.
The day of release, we listened to it in the store.
Yeah.
And it was just like the audio quality on it is way ahead of the original release of it. The original release is a little like it has that 70s thing where it's a little quieter. There's not a lot of dynamics to it.
Mm-hmm.
This release is really punchy.
Yeah.
And I think it lets yes. the instrumentation really shine with the band because that band is, I mean.
Yeah, it's.
I don't know if we can say much about the meters that hasn't already been said about the
true.
Meters.
True, yeah.
However, I will say that this album is the third in a run in the 70s where the Meters had tried to go a little more commercial. They had Cabbage Alley. They had Rejuvenation, and they had Fire on the Bayou.
Yeah.
And while those all still carry that meter sound with the funk and with the soul, they started doing more vocals where they hadn't done vocals in any of their early albums. Like, they were mostly an instrumental funk band early on. And once they started adding in a few more members, they started trying to do more vocals and trying to be a little more mainstream, which, I mean, they needed to because they...
Yeah.
It was tough.
Well... I mean, after those early classic albums, what else could you do? I mean, those yeah. were bangers, you know, first and foremost. So that right. sound, you know, they needed to broaden a bit.
And I also find it kind of funny that while there's a Meters album called Fire on the Bayou, there's also a Neville Brothers album yeah. called
That's true.
Bayou on the Bayou,
yeah,
which is kind of fun, too. I will say between those two records, I think the Meters album stronger, although the Neville Brothers record is really strong too. But it's hard to, sometimes it's hard to not mix the Neville Brothers and the Meters together because they had so many interchangeable members.
True.
Like
yeah.
The Meters were made up of Neville Brothers. So a lot of those guys would kind of bop between different Louisiana bands.
Yeah.
And... or New Orleans bands. And like when you listen to a Meters album and you listen to a Neville's Brothers album, sometimes they start blending a little bit and they sound similar.
Yeah.
Although I will say the Meters generally had a lot more of the hard funk sound to it than Neville Brothers.
Definitely. Yeah.
Neville Brothers tend to like lean more R&B soul kind of.
Yeah. Even pop side. At sure. times, especially early 80s.
Yeah, especially into the 80s.
Yeah.
But that being said, standout tracks on this album?
Obviously the title track. That's
obviously.
A gimme. That's a gimme there. I do like how it starts with Out in the Country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of ease into it, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, boom. There's that classic funk sound.
Yes.
So that's a good one. Love Slipping Up On You is a good one, too. It's a
fantastic song.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think that this album has a lot more percussion elements to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of the songs tend to have more of a, like, just a big percussion sound. Like, lots of shakers, lots of tambourines, lots of just... auxiliary percussion.
Yeah.
Whereas yep. the earlier Meters albums tend to be more just a straight ahead funk drum.
3 minute funk
yes.
songs.
These stretch out just a touch more.
They do. Yeah.
Like they fill a little more air.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is a New Orleans album. Like it
totally
it feels like a New Orleans party.
It does. Yeah, definitely with, you know, the sounds that you said, different instrumentation and stuff, and also the theme with it too. What's the last song, Mardi Gras Mambo?
Sure.
And the one they wrote about the zoo in New Orleans,
right?
Too. What is that? Which one was that? They all asked for you.
Yeah. I will give them some credit that, like, there was a real trend at the time for New Orleans bands to fill about half of the album full of those classic New Orleans staples, like Ico Ico or something. Yeah. like there was all those staples that they would fill a whole side or half side with. And this album doesn't really do that. It has a couple, but it really doesn't lean too hard into, like, the classic New Orleans tropes.
But it almost seems like the standards that they use to fill in are not really filler. It goes with the flow of the album, the groove in the album. So it makes sense.
Yes.
That
kind of swampy, hard funk feel.
Yeah. Which is surprising that, you know, when you read about this album, the label didn't know how to promote them at this time. And it is odd
because, I mean, they kind of promote themselves in a way, like,
pretty much. And I mean, they had already kind of proven who they were and who they are.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe because they were getting further into the 70s and that sound that the Meters had kind of coined in the late 60s was maybe waning a bit into the mid 70s when you had all the heavy metal acts.
Maybe it was more arena based. Rock taking over.
But then again, like, it's hard to imagine a world where you couldn't sell a Meters record when it comes out. Granted, we're both too young to know what that time period was like, but it's just hard to imagine a record company looking at that record and going, ah, I don't know.
Like, to me, I would want to be the one promoting them.
Absolutely. Like, I would want to get promo copies into every single record store you could find and be like, play this over the speakers and it will sell itself.
Yeah. They were on tour with the Stones.
Yeah. Which is
for this album,
which is kind of wild. I mean, what was the Stones touring on in that?
Oh gosh.
Was that,
It's Only Rock and Roll.
That's what I was going to say. Only Rock and Roll, which personally I don't feel like is one of the Stones' strongest albums on the whole. That's just my personal opinion on it. But, I would think having the Meters open with this record kind of might...
Talk about a party.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I mean, as far as an opener, it's strange that the Stones were even okay with it, because I feel like they might kind of blow the Stones a little bit out of the water with how tight of a band they are.
That band, yeah.
I mean...
I wonder, who do you think made that decision for them? Do you think that was a Keith...
Yeah, it could go either way, couldn't it? It could be a Keith or a Mick. Because, you know, Mick was starting to really dabble into reggae, dabble into R&B pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Could have gone either way.
Yeah.
I would say that...
Maybe it was a joint effort.
It very well could have been. I would say that Keith definitely would have been happy watching Leo Nocentelli playing guitar with the Meters on this tour, because that man is an absolute master.
Keith probably went to New Orleans.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And that's the other thing about this record, is the musicianship is just off the charts.
Yeah.
Like, they are one of the tightest funk bands that have ever existed, ever. Like, it's hard to...
They make it look easy.
They make it look easy, and it's hard to overemphasize just how good it is. And especially if you have a good stereo at home, when you put this on and you can really hear the instrumentation all over the place, and each guy putting in their own... Like, they're all playing really intricate stuff, but they can do it together in a way that doesn't feel like it's all cluttered.
Right.
Like, every piece has its place in the mix. And if one of the guys wasn't playing, it wouldn't sound as good. You have to have every single one of those guys doing their thing. And that's kind of what I've always loved about the Meters. And it's the thing that makes them kind of live on forever. Like, I don't see the Meters ever going out of style.
No.
Like, every DJ will have the Meters in his bag.
Mm-hmm.
at least Here Comes the Meter Man, Sissy Strut, Look a Pie Pie, one of those songs will be in his bag.
That kind of explains why it's a Rhino Reserve release.
Absolutely. And I mean, we can also tell the fun aside that we have where anytime I make a mistake when we're DJing, we call it a Sissy Strut.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember exactly how that started, but I think it was...
It might have been when we were playing Sissy Strut.
It was definitely... I think I was supposed to play the 45 of Sissy Strut, and I did something and screwed up the cue or screwed up something on the turntable.
The B-side or something.
I did something wrong. And so we, every time I make a mistake when we're DJing, or Matt makes a mistake, either one, we just call it a Sissy Strut.
Yeah.
Because it's the funniest name for when you make a mistake. But that also goes to show how often we play the meters when we DJ.
What a nod to the meters.
Absolutely. There, one of our bags will have a meters album.
Yeah.
Every time we DJ.
Always.
Never leave home without it. And that's, you know, that goes to show how much we love the meters as well. This is an aside from Fire on the Bayou, but if you had to pick a favorite Meters album, is there one that, like, is it probably that first one?
That first one is, I mean.
It's hard to, like.
Top to bottom.
Yeah, like, there's, you know, when they started adding vocals in, I really like it, but there's something really beautiful about their albums that were all instrumental. I know that I either their first album that came out in 69, which was The Meters, just self-titled The Meters, or that second album, Look a Pie Pie. I really enjoy both those two albums.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you can pick one between the two because they're both kind of one and the same in a way.
They go together very easily.
But I would say if you don't have either one of those albums in your collection, you should seek them out.
Yeah.
They've been repressed to death. Mm-hmm. There's loads of them out there. There's in the
plenty.
Wild everywhere.
Plenty out there.
We keep them at the shop. We always keep Meters records at the shop.
Yep.
That stays stocked. For the reason of we want to make sure people listen to the Meters.
Exactly. If somebody comes in and says, hey, I need something fresh, something new, easily you can go to the Meters and go, have you ever heard this album?
Exactly. Especially if you get like, to me, the best is when you have like the guys that come in that are really into hip hop, or they're really into soul, or they're really into something like that, and they might just not be familiar with the Meters.
Yeah.
You can guarantee if they take that home and put it on, they're going to love it. And it's probably going to change their life. Like, they're going to go even deeper into the New Orleans sound.
And they'll notice the songs because they've been sampled.
Absolutely. 100%. But yeah, I love this album. Like I said, we both got OG copies of it.
Yeah.
I think I found mine at, just to call out, one of my favorite record stores, Mystery Train in Gloucester, Massachusetts. One of my absolute favorite record stores because it's up in the middle of kind of nowhere, up the coast in Massachusetts before you get to Maine. And they have a lot of those just strange albums hanging around that you can't always find everywhere. So I'm pretty sure I picked that one up there and was super over the moon when I got it. It's not one that we see come in used very often.
Never. Yeah. Never.
If we get a Meters used record, sometimes we'll get Rejuvenation. Sometimes.
True. Yeah, we have a copy right now.
We do.
It's beat up, though.
But it's just rare. It's rare to see them. And I don't know if that's because people don't ever get rid of them. I don't know if it's just one that stays in people's collection and they just look at it and go, oh,
I won't get rid of mine.
No, never. There was also in 2019 or 2020, maybe, there was that triple album RSD release.
Yes.
The singles. Message from the Meters. Yeah. There was that one, the Message from the Meters, that was like the trifold vinyl. That's a great one to seek out.
That's a DJ essential.
It is.
There.
And it'll give you every essential Meters song.
Yeah.
In one collection. I highly recommend getting it. You can probably get it for maybe 50, 60 bucks, mm-hmm. I would think.
Yeah.
But it's, and I think it was originally maybe a CD release, Message from the Meters.
Could have been.
I feel like that came out on CD.
Yeah.
Like maybe in the 90s. But yeah, I think if you, any of those Meters albums from the first album they put out all the way up to Fire on the Bayou, they're all great.
Yeah.
And they all got like high spots. Some of them have a few more peaks and valleys, but they've all got really high spots.
They're all worth checking out and listening to, though.
Yeah. The one after Fire on the Bayou, I don't have as much. It's I was going to ask if you had a copy of it. It's called,
what is it? New Directions?
Turning
Point something.
Trick Bag.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah, no, I don't have that one. I was thinking of the either. One after that one. New Directions.
New Directions was a big album.
Yeah.
But Trick Bag, that's one that I don't know a whole lot about because I've never seen a copy anywhere.
No, I haven't either. Yeah.
So, and that can mean one of two things. Either nobody bought it or it's really good and people keep it. One of two. I'm not sure. But that's the one right after Fire on the Bayou. And also, there's something to mention around that New Directions time period, which is 77, 78. Leo Nocentelli, the guitar player, put out a solo record that was shelved for a lot of years and then got reissued a year or two ago. Do you remember that when that got reissued?
Yeah.
And it's a solid album. It's very much in the vein of the Meters, but he's singing on it.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. I'm trying to think of who reissued it. But it was I know it might have been Lie in the Attic.
I was going to say.
Maybe Lie in the Attic.
That's a Light in the Attic.
Yeah. Sounds like something they would do. But I think that's worth seeking out as well. Is if you like that Fire on the Bayou sound, maybe check that guy out and see if that's something that you'd be into. Because he only did one solo record. And it's pretty solid.
Yeah.
But anything else to add on Fire on the Bayou?
Highly recommended. You should go buy a copy.
Can you rate it out of 10? Or is it like one of those that it's like so good we just might as well just peg it out?
Yeah.
Give it 10.
It's great. It's a Saturday night album. It's a party album.
It is. It's a party album. That's the best way to describe it.
Drop the needle on a Saturday night and...
You'd be hard-pressed to find a better New Orleans party album than Fire on the Bayou. And maybe throw some Dr. John in for good measure.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, this has been The Vinyl Crawl. See you guys next time. Cheers it out.
Cheers.